Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid. And live from Bar Dunk, it's a podcast of love. God! Guys, games and beer.
I want to get a doctor.
Yay! I think we were waiting for you to like shut the show down with that.
Because what?
Mess
I burned my face.
The alternate intro is going to be G2B, the only podcast that takes three times as long to set up as it does to record.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up, actually.
That's true.
Damn.
So, Rob, wait a minute. Before we get the show started, Larry's got something to say. Larry.
So... Tom
has talked about his feelings
on
specialty
fall beers.
And what was that? What was that?
Well,
pumpkin spice.
Yeah. Look, I do not want. Yeah, thank you. I do not want pumpkin spice in my fucking beer. Okay. I want beer that tastes like beer. I don't want it tasting like nutmeg. I don't want it tasting like pumpkin.
Cinnamon.
No cinnamon.
How about an allspice?
No allspice in my beer. I want my beer to taste like beer. So, Larry, what the
hell
did you do?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Oh! Oh!
Boom!
Oh, okay. Drop the mic. Just walk off right now.
Oh.
But
it's
Halloween, right? Halloween special. So, we have to have a Halloween beer. So, today we have...
You can drink
Travelers.
That's like a nightmare.
Jackal Traveler.
It's Jackal.
Wow.
Larry said Jackal. Oh.
What?
Sorry, I'm okay.
Doesn't say Jackal?
It says Jackal. It's a Jackal in Onassis.
So this is a pumpkin shandy, which I was told was of all the pumpkin beers out there, the most drinkable. So,
you didn't say good.
By the guy who sold it to him.
Yeah,
did you notice that?
Yeah. That'll be $13 for a six-pack.
Yeah, so.
He bought us water, basically.
We could try the most drinkable pumpkin beer.
Here we go.
Cheers. Let's try the most drinkable pumpkin beer.
Fuck, I spelled it. Holy shit. That's pretty pumpkin-y.
Oh, that is not drinkable. Oh my god, dude!
It's a trap. You just want to make him drink something.
It's like drinking a fucking pumpkin pie. Okay?
It tastes like pumpkin pie.
It tastes like pumpkin pie. No, you gotta try a sip of it. Because it's like drinking a damn pumpkin pie.
It really is.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
I don't think it's beer.
No, it's pumpkin pie in a bottle.
It's delicious.
No, it's... Yeah, if you want pumpkin pie, hold on.
I want pumpkin pie, which does sound pretty good right now.
I mean, that's not bad.
I need to make like a dog and lick my testicles right now just to get rid of the taste.
I've had way better pumpkin beers than that. That is not
more drinkable?
It might be the most drinkable pumpkin beer.
Yeah,
or
it's
at least
a fairly light beer.
The most accessible pumpkin beer.
Yeah, so it's fairly light to start with.
Yeah,
so if you work hard at it, you can probably slam it down and then tell your friend, don't buy me another.
Yeah.
Fine, drink your fucking beer.
This is a novelty beer that I will enjoy once and never ever want to drink again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also, it's 4.4% alcohol, so I could keep drinking this. And, like, is anything going to happen yet?
Well, what else are show beers for?
And that's a shandy in general. I mean, they're always like those anyways.
So I feel like I think we've already so rated upset. This. As.
Because it tastes like a freaking pumpkin pie!
I'm so confused right now.
I did not want anything with. Did you not say you bought a fucking allspice? They got allspice in here, okay?
Wow. I was told it was drinkable!
To do something you don't want him to do, or he doesn't want to do, just lie to him. And
yes.
He will probably do it.
Yeah.
Or make it part of the theme.
I'm good with lies, okay? Or make it so.
Everybody's trying it, Tom.
Right, because.
Just drink
because
it, Tom!
Jack O Traveler, okay?
Well, they have a whole story on the back. I didn't want to read.
But give us a story.
We wanted to make a really crappy beer, so.
Yeah.
So here it is for
Well, I mean, you know, driven out of...
Everywhere.
Obsessive love of hijinks, Jackal Traveler spent the days cooking up mischief. That sounds good, doesn't it? And it goes on to talk about how he escaped from hell, and, well, he decided to make a beer and put everyone else through hell. Wait, they didn't put that in there. I did.
They should have.
So does anybody know the technical definition of a shandy?
Isn't beer supposed with something
to be,
added.
Isn't it supposed to be like a... okay, is it have like to be a liquid? Like, does it have to be a liquid, though? Like in like a beer mixed with lemonade or a beer... Because, yeah. Like, this... On one thing, it says it's a shandy-inspired beer on the top.
Okay, no, that's a good point, because, yeah, generally it is. Like it's more like a rat.
Yeah, if you throw pumpkin flavoring in it, I don't know if that technically makes it a shandy. And on the top, it does specifically say shandy-inspired.
But then the bottle says...
No, that's a good point.
Pumpkin shandy.
No, that is a good point, because you're right. Shandy is like if you add lemonade or orange juice or something like that to a beer. A liquid to a beer.
It tastes a lot
like...
a
berry or something.
They, like, made... some beer, and then they were like, shit, it's October. What do we do? And then one guy in the back just stands up and goes, I know. And he goes to the grocery store and picks up the pumpkin spice shaker that you can get, those pre-mixed ones. And then, except he obviously went to Costco and bought them out of it and then shook that into the vat, and that's how this pumpkin shandy was.
Yay!
I'm pretty sure you're right.
That guy got
promotion.
Yes.
Fired.
All right,
so
like I got to tell you what, for your party, run out and get.
Yeah. All right, so let's do this. Gentlemen, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Right now, it's a thumbs up. If I had another, it would be a thumbs down.
Okay.
Again, I'm going to enjoy
it. I like that.
This one's a delicious one, and I will never, ever want to drink this again.
I'll say this. It's better than Leinenkugel's pumpkin shandy. So that is disgusting beer.
Well, good news. October's almost over, so Samuel Adams, we won't be coming for yours.
I mean, that's fair.
All right. Enough with the show beer.
That was the alcoholic equivalent of date rape.
Pretty much so. All right, so, Rob, what is the show about tonight?
I don't even know anymore.
Remember how
pumpkin-y...
I gotcha. Okay, hold on. Can I get a gin and tonic?
You have a gin and tonic. Right there.
Let me clear that. Drink that. I very seldom hate beer. All right.
You
didn't
clear that crap out of your mouth, didn't you?
Oh, man. Okay, so, yeah, today's topic is the games of Halloween. Now, it doesn't have to be scary, although we're going to talk a little bit about scary games later, but we've already covered that earlier this month. We're going to talk about that game that you play every Halloween, that ritual that gets you into the Halloween mood. God, that beer was nasty.
And a new Halloween tradition was born.
That's it. Don't drink this crap.
No, that's the scary
maybe
part.
Maybe it's because it's from Vermont.
Vomit?
I said Vermont.
Oh, okay. Whew.
Montpelier.
Okay, so I suppose... Yeah, I'm totally off. I just can't even get past that crap. Well, all right, how about...
You know what? Now I give this beer a thumbs up.
Let's get...
To torture people.
Well, good. You can drink the rest of that shit. Tyler, what's your game?
Well, it's not very Halloween-y. I said weenie. One that I like to play Halloween is Team Fortress 2. They always do events on Halloween and stuff, and it's always a lot of fun, actually. And I enjoy it. I haven't really played much Team Fortress 2 lately, but I was just reading, so I was thinking about, you know, I should go back and play it. But before past the year or so, I usually would. The other game I like to try to play, but haven't again lately, is Zombies Ate My Neighbors, which is one of my all-time favorite games and is wonderful. And if you haven't played it, I hate you.
Wow, that's a little rough. That's a Genesis or SNES game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The SNES version is better.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not going to fight you on that one.
If something's multi-console, yeah, usually SNES is better,
that
obviously.
That was the
but...
winds of Lake Kichigumi coming through.
Yes.
Really was.
Which means the good land.
The winds of Lake Grab My Cocky.
I believe that means a whale's vagina.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Rob, come back to me.
So to scare yourself, you try and get your rift working,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm trying to do right now. But go ahead, come back to me.
All right, let's go with Travis.
All right, I'm gonna do a few quick fire ones. I'm really excited. One that people know.
Don't blow the load, though.
Yeah, House of the Dead Overkill. It is a very good House of the Dead game. I know a lot of people obviously know about the House of the Dead series, but not enough people have played Overkill because it is gritty and very, very violent, and it's really like a B-movie style plot and is very offensive to most people. But I highly recommend to play it because it's a very, very, very... It's a very good House of the Dead game, and it's cheesy and funny and great.
Just like it should be.
Yeah. There's one called The Haunting, starring... The Haunting. It's for the Sega Genesis. It's a game about a poltergeist. And you play as like a ghost, and your goal is to haunt as many things and scare everybody in the family out of a house. It's pretty great. So you basically have to kind of like avoid traps and stuff and haunt kitchen appliances or toilets or the dog or and in different levels. And it's like very kind of comedic, and I don't think enough, there are a lot of people who've played it, but it's a very, very good kind of, it's like a top down. So you're like hovering around as a ghost and like floating electronics and take them over and stuff. It's really fun. And then I will pass it on to Matt.
The Sims.
That's true. However, the Halloween tradition that I like to keep alive every year is to keep playing whatever game I happen to be playing at the time.
What a tradition.
Which right now is Fallout 3 to get ready for Fallout 4. I mean,
you're
that's
back playing.
That's it.
Are you having all the games?
Are you back playing?
Like, well, kind of, yeah. Correct.
No, but what I'm saying is you've already played through that and you're going back and playing through again.
Oh yeah. I haven't played that game in like 5 years, so I'm like getting back into it, and I'm like, whoa.
This is I've done that where I've gone back and played a previous game close to when the new installment's going to come out, like a month earlier or something like that, to refresh my memory to the storyline, the world, you know, to just kind of get a feel again for what was happening in there. Mm-hmm. And then when the new one comes out, it's like, oh yeah, you can hit it running. I think that's a good plan. If you're really into a series and they don't always come out like every year, maybe they take a few years to develop a new version of that game.
You mean
that,
like most games besides Call of Duty?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times it takes 2-3 years to
I've been
develop
waiting
15
years for Shenmue 3, damn it! It's about time!
And you probably would have to go back and, you know, get reacquainted.
Actually, I played Shenmue 2 in like 2004, but side to point.
I mean, it's true.
So I'm just saying, I think that's a good strategy to get yourself sort of reacclimated.
Plus, I played New Vegas over the summer, so it seemed like the next logical step.
Yeah.
Larry!
What's up?
Nothing.
Cool.
That's it, right? We're done?
So anyways, I actually don't have a lot of video game traditions when it comes to Halloween, but I...
Gun game.
I will bring this up, and I feel like that's the that was the cue during the Lords of the Trident delightful episode. I had had a few drinks.
Oh my god!
Came as out of nowhere.
You said
and
you
came everywhere. Actually,
I
he's really happy to have mine.
Everywhere for it.
And so I didn't exactly. Attuned to everything that was happening. And so Ty had bring up, the lead singer had brought up Chiller. And I didn't say nothing about it because, well, I missed it. And
Flat out did not hear them.
But that is an amazingly gory game. If you want to do a gore for Halloween, that is a gore game, and it's gore in the most brutal way, because you know back in the 80s there was quite a few gun games like Cheyenne and Crossbow. Well, this is basically set up very similar to that, except instead of, and I know I've talked about this on podcast before, mm-hmm. and longtime listeners, bear with and be proud of you. Hey, yeah, I know about that. But
you probably speak Spanish as your primary language based on our
screen. Yeah. Basically, there's people on the screen that are in torture devices, and the goal to get to the next screen is to shoot off all their or destroy their flesh in some way. Completely. So shoot their face off, shoot their hands off, shoot their legs off, you know, or maybe you squish them in some sort of torture device that by shooting the torture device, it activates it. It's the just the horrible shooting gallery. And that might be a good Halloween game, but...
You know, there's a fun fact about that game. In America, when it was released, they actually tried to put, like, a really, really lame, half-assed story to it to make it a little more acceptable, the fact that you were, like, shooting and contorting people. They're like, oh, yeah, these are, like, evil spirits and, like, demons and shit that you have to destroy to, like, release their spirits. And that's, like, legitimately, like, the plot they try to throw into the U.S. version, which is not in the Australian one.
Yeah, it's not.
The Australians like censor everything else.
No, and that's why probably Australia has censorship the way they do now.
I'm just gonna put it out there. It's basically just torture porn. I mean, that's.
Oh yeah, it's pretty graphic.
Yeah,
and that pretty much
that's
is
what
it.
That's
literally what
that's
it is.
That's what it is. But on a completely other topic, you guys distracting me over here. I wanted to talk about a few games that you're gonna host maybe a small Halloween party and a few board games you might want to enjoy during that time. Of course, you know, werewolf would always work at a Halloween party
or any party.
Yeah, well, but you know, it fits in more because there are other variants of that werewolf that you could like intrigue and thief and a few of the other ones.
You know, we should really do an episode just on werewolf. You could probably get a history on the history of that game.
Have one where we did a let's play on werewolf.
We did do a let's play on werewolf, but we didn't do like a history of like a deep dive on that. That's actually a pretty interesting game.
I think that was an audio one too. We should do a video of werewolf.
Yeah.
That'd be really exciting. Here's us flipping a card. That's not like it's... Well, here we are standing here, yes.
To be fair, our games of werewolf get fucking intense.
You
there's
motherfucker
a lot of,
accused me, I'm not a fucking werewolf!
There's a lot
One damn time, Travis. One time.
There's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of Tom saying that he's a villager.
I am a villager every effing time!
I mean, that's true.
None of these punches are
except
real.
For the
that's
time
just
that
the sound man.
Which was never. Right.
So anyway, but if your group is a little more intense, a good high quality game that I think you can still pick up is Betrayal on House on the Hill. And it's got 50 different endings. It's really creepy and spooky, and it has really good gameplay to it. So that one's a lot of fun. Couple others that might be, and that was a pretty, I want to say almost a serious kind of board game. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That's very more serious. Couple others out there, cheap and easy to get. Couple versions of Flux, Cthulhu Flux, and Zombie Flux are both get you in the spirit and not too heavy as far as gameplay.
What the Flux is that?
Right. And one last one. That I'll mention that might be.
Yeah, it was, but.
I missed.
No worries.
I thought it was rhetorical.
Yeah.
And one last one I'll mention is, and we always mess with the name, is The Haunting House.
Yes, you got it, though. Yeah, it's your game, you should know the name.
I know, I should know the name. Sorry, I gotta take a call here.
Yeah, what the hell? Turn the phone off! We're recording here! We're like professionals!
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to mention, just in the middle of this, we were at a panel one year, and somebody's phone rang, and Larry stormed off of the panel and said, "Shut your damn phone off! What the hell?" He went crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know.
He's like, acting like a nice guy here.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
That won't happen here. So that
stardom goes to his head.
The Haunting House, relatively cheap to get, and I believe it's still available. And you know, it's only like a $20-$25.
I had a hard time finding it.
And you did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Probably can find it on Amazon.
I suck.
You can find everything else.
Mm, why not?
But I really recommend your local game store. You know, because many cities have them, so I recommend those. But it's basically punk teenagers go into a haunted house, and then the first one out lives. I'm assuming they are.
Right? Because I'm one's a baby.
In my head, I'm going basically Scooby-Doo on it.
Wait, Scooby-Doo were punks? Like,
they were punkers, actually.
Yeah. And punks! So you basically go in the house, and it's a tile-based game, and the tiles change all the time, and it's really laid out well. And I feel like
it's a great game.
It's really strong.
Yeah.
Really strong on it.
It's
not
like
super...
It could technically be like a 15-minute game, but no, it never happens.
It's not. We played it the one time. We played it with it's up to 6 players. And I think we played it with 5, and it took us like 3 hours.
Yeah,
because it just sometimes worked out that way. But then we played one the other day, and we had 4 players. So I'm not sure the number of players makes a big difference. And we were done in like 5 minutes. Just the exits.
Just got lucky.
It just boom, done.
It's great because it's a really, really simple game, but there's so many different things you can do and different ways you can play it. It makes it a lot of fun.
That is a good game.
Sorry. No, it is. I play it once or twice, Larry.
It might just be Larry. Nah, the game's pretty good too, but
and you know, Larry's fun. You know what's funny is there's 3 expansions which I own for the game. And I've yet to play those. I've yet to pull them.
But it does take us like a couple hours to finish it without.
I know. Because basically the first floor is game number 1. And the expansion is the second floor. And the third expansion is the attic. And in the expansions, your character can die. So instead of trying to get out of the house, you're now a ghost. And you're trying to make it to the attic. So it's kind of interesting. I probably adds more of a spooky feel if you add those elements to it, but I've never played them, so one of these days we'll have to do that. So those are some suggestions for Halloween board games.
Those are some great suggestions, actually, for Halloween board games.
I agree wholeheartedly.
So
how about it, Tom?
All right, well, you know, again, as I was told before, I'm boring, okay? So my favorite game, my Halloween game, the game I play all the time.
Porn.
Yes, well, that too, but that's a whole other game. That was a very good guess.
So close.
Okay, so...
Costume-inspired porn.
Killing Floor, like...
porn. He said it already.
Porn.
Right.
So, no, Killing Floor and Killing Floor 2, both great games, again... There's nothing like zombies and blood and being a berserker and just slicing the crap out of everything. Yeah, so Killing Floor 2.
Yeah, way to go.
All right.
Easy enough.
All right.
What's wrong with Killing Floor 1?
Nothing wrong with Killing Floor 1. Just they fixed a lot of things in Killing Floor 2.
That's pretty lovely. 2 is pretty good. That's what I expected out of a sequel. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, exactly.
The number 2 and more content.
That's all I'm going to say. Okay, so I'm going to go... I got a couple, but I'm going to go mainly with every year I have to play Ghosts and Goblins. I have to. It is like an absolute requirement. Lately, the last couple years, I've been playing the PSP version of it, the PSP remake, which is really kind of... It's just nice looking. It's still hard as hell. You know, it kills the hell out of you, but they've got a really good remake of it.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
It's a hella hard game. I've come close to finishing it in like the 10, 20 years I've been playing it, but I haven't actually finished it yet. I originally got it on the SNES.
Worse than me.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, huh?
Yeah.
Good thing Steam's not tracking that one, huh?
Yeah.
So anyway, I really like playing that one. Obviously, Killing Floor is on my list. There is a game I've been playing lately called You Can't Escape. And I really can't escape. I've played it quite a few times. I hear only a few people have escaped from You Can't Escape. It's a bit like it's a lot like the old fashioned RPGs where it's one step at a time, but it's 3D. What was that one you gave me a while back? Really good game.
Yeah,
it's a lot like Legend of Grimlock. It's a lot like Legends of Grim Rock, but it's way simpler. It harkens back to like 80s games like Hunt the Wumpus. Hunt the Wumpus is kind of a weird game to identify with it, but it reminds me of that because it's a one-sitting game. Most times, you're either going to die or win in one sitting. Guess what I do? I die. But, yeah, you didn't need that. But it's got a really eerie atmosphere. It's kind of scary, but it keeps your stress level way up. So you're just very frustrated with it.
Your doctor loves it.
My doctor loves it. Dr. Strangelove loves it. He loves it. So, yeah, those are my two main go-to games right now. Although I play Doom. That's kind of a tradition. I just kind of bring it out and
bust some cackle demons. All the ghosts.
That's good. Maybe I'll play Pac-Land. That'll piss some people off.
I said it didn't have to be scary, but there's definitely ghosts.
Do we want to go to the next topic, or does Tom want to pound on his keyboard a little bit longer?
I'm just going to keep pounding on my keyboard. Should we just watch
it intensely?
Topic is?
What makes a scary game? What makes a game scary? Because there are some games that attempt this and don't do it. You think about a lot of money can be poured into a game to be scary. It's not really that scary. Like the first Fear game was really scary. The second, third, no, not at all. Not scary at all. But then you look at like Slenderman that was made on a 5-cent budget. It's creeping the hell out of you all the time, you know? There's something to a game that makes it scary. What do you think that is?
What's more important? The sort of, is it suspense that's the more important element?
Yeah, it's really more of a build-up to whatever your reveal is, if there's a reveal at all. I mean, some games like Amnesia are very much more about the build-up than, you know, whatever it is that's actually hunting you. A lot of other games, like, it comes down to atmosphere, like music. A lot of really good music makes a good horror game. And there are some games that have, if it's generic, it can have that tense build-up, but it just has to build in the correct way.
That was one thing I was going to bring up. What makes a scary game? If you're talking about specific things that games do, one isn't just music, silence and atmosphere. When games are quiet, that is creepy as all hell.
There's a lot of times that the scariest games actually make you fucking put in all the gaps. I mean, you have to have basically enough information to like build a base and let your mind just take off from there.
The perfect example is like the first time I played Silent Hill, where it said, "Oh, there's fog everywhere. What's this creepy noise that's slowly building?" I want to cry.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably my first experience with an actual like horror game, because it's not really my genre, if you picked up on that. I was watching our good friend of the show, Jay Piz, or Justin, play Fatal Frame on his Xbox.
Wait, I have a joke. Oh, never mind.
He lost it. Damn it,
Larry.
It wasn't bad for most of it. I mean, it was creepy. There were ghosts everywhere, and they were all, like, deformed and shit. And you, like, for some reason couldn't run, even though you were an able-bodied human. And you had a camera for some reason, and that captured their spirits and whatever. There was one point, like, after we had beaten the first boss, where there were two modes. There was a top-down, like, third-person view for you to navigate the map, but then there was also a first-person zoomed-in with your camera view for you to capture the spirits of the ghosts and set them free, or whatever the hell the plot of the game was. And at one point, Justin was in the first-person view mode, and we were sweeping the camera around slowly. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a ghost with its neck broken is reaching out towards you and is about this far away from the screen. And we both shrieked and shut the Xbox off. It's that kind.
Like real men.
Like real men play horror games. So for me, it's always the jump scare. But you don't get the jump scare without the right atmosphere.
Wait for it.
And I'm with Tyler on the silence.
Personally, with games, I'm not a big horror game guy either.
But it's always the games I like. Even with movies, I don't like the jump scare or like that. I like the weird, creepy things that just like mess with you. Well, it's just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. And you're just waiting for it, which leads into my other thing, which I think, because the idea of horror and something being scary is so wide. Same thing with why Zombies Ate My Neighbors is one of my favorite games, too, is because random things happen, like where you get cornered by a bunch of enemies, like, shit. That's scary because you don't want to die.
Right.
You know what I think tends to just and I, you know what I think what makes a good scary game is probably what makes a good scary book or a good scary movie. They're probably the same elements, you know, and it's just a matter of execution, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Things that you don't expect to be true are true is probably something that leads to something that's scary. For example, like a doll that is faceless and is talking to you is really shit. It's creepy, you know. I mean, it's because that shouldn't be true. That should not be happening.
Is it mostly because the doll is talking, or mostly because it doesn't have a mouth to talk to you with?
Side note:
see, both of those elements make it that shouldn't be true.
Larry's favorite scary movie: Toy Story.
Yeah. It shouldn't be happening, man.
No. That slinky comes out, he screams his ass off.
I'm trying to think of, like, okay, Five Nights at Freddy, right? Is a pretty creepy game. Right?
I had Five Nights at Freddy one time, and I'm going to tell you what, he owed me more than $20.
But you know what keeps freaking you out is that deadpan, fluffy toy that keeps popping up in screens. That is really freaky. Because that should not be happening.
Animatronics are scary in general.
I mean, that's true.
They shouldn't be.
You're getting that deadpan, emotionless stare, you know?
You're right. That's right.
What it is.
Same thing that makes a mime scary. Or most clowns.
I've been scared of clowns. I'm learning more about Larry today than I thought I would.
You should be.
Hmm.
Or wanted to.
You've learned a lot on these.
Dressed like clowns and stand outside Larry's house at midnight.
We should do that.
We all know that clowns are generally scary.
Never been scared of clowns. Even watching it, like, yeah, that's a creepy movie, but it's not a clown. It's.
Have you read the ant? Come on. Ooh. Have you heard of Eddie? Oh, and
we're talking about games.
Bozo, have you heard of Cookie? Have you heard of Cookie? God,
Cookie.
They're
Cookie
all scared crazy. The shit out of me,
man. Just said it right man, now. Cookie was creepy as hell.
He was creepy.
Okay. Like everybody over 40. Just like went, oh, hell yeah.
Probably what drives them into the clown business is being creepy. That's right.
They take off the makeup and it's worse.
Have you seen Son of Svangoria?
The Son of Svanguli. I love that show. Channel 44. That was hyper-localization.
Oh, yeah, you want Dr. Destructo?
I have not seen Dr. Destructo. Yeah. Dr. Demento was awesome.
No, Dr. Destructo, I believe, is out of Kenosha.
He is out of
Kenosha.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never.
And he does the classic show, the old movies.
Oh, really?
And he's paying homage to Son of Svanguli.
No, yeah. Son of Sven was on until like the mid-2000s.
Oh, yeah.
I actually didn't know that Dr. Destructo was a thing, and I legitimately was walking with JJ to get lunch in high school, and next thing you know, it's the middle of the day. A guy drives past in a hearse in an Undertaker uniform and white face, and I'm like, "All right, what is going on? This guy looks like he's dead in a coffin, you know." And he legitimately like stopped near this Chinese place that we went to go get food and came out, and I was like, "What the hell is going on? This is not a thing that happens in the middle of the day."
It doesn't Racine. I mean, you should have been used to that.
But what's weird is he's from Kenosha.
Yeah, he grew up on Son of Svanguli and saw that kind of stuff. Son of Svanguli, again, this hyperlocalization, was a show on WGN out of Chicago.
Yeah, there's got to be one.
No, not WGN.
Channel 44.
Channel 44. Who did WGN have? They had Svanguli.
They had Svanguli.
Svanguli.
Had Sven.
And then 44 picked up Son of Svanguli. So this basically comes from the late 70s, early 80s through almost, like you said, the 2000s, I think.
Yeah, because sure. He had a rebirth.
I believe, though, that just basically every region has
I'm sure they did. Well, that's how Elvira
I mean, Elvira's like
Elvira,
the, yeah.
Elvira, she became a national hit, but she started as a local hit.
Yeah.
She was a local little one who did this kind of show and just got big on that.
What do you think catapulted her?
We're not going to talk about that.
No, look, she was on Stephanie Miller this morning. I was listening to her.
I do not need to be on feminist frequency, okay?
She's still fucking hot as can be. Look, if you can look like that, and she's 60 plus, holy shit. So, that being said, she had a one-night stand with Elvis, I found out this morning, so I'm good with that.
Well, that's nice.
So we know MILF is a certain term.
What's GILF.
Plus 60.
It's GILF. It's GILF. We came up with that.
We already have a term. It's called GILF.
GILF.
Larry just
Larry just figured out what
he's been expanded.
Larry just
image search GILF.
No, do not. Do not. Oh, no. Do not. Do
moderate not. Safe search off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. No. No.
That is the worst horror game of all time.
Oh, God.
You know what?
You mean GILF dating? Like it, that no, seems like a off. There's like a Japanese simulator for that, right? I mean, you guys seem to know a lot about this. So.
Why do we still let him hold the mic?
Fair enough.
I don't think we can go on.
Yeah, well,
I think this episode's done. Put a fork in this bitch. It is done. Oh my God!
Get out the meat thermometer.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, it's done.
Yeah, this episode's done.
This has done been roasted.
Thank you so much for watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Don't forget to visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. But, hey, you know what? Don't do that. Go over to Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer because that is where we hang out. There's multiple things going on there. Every day we've got free games for you. We've got little contests. We've got just we post all sorts of weird crap. It's
that's true.
All sorts of fun. And also, don't forget...
Thumbs up us on YouTube.
Sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Do that.
If you're feeling really lonely. And subscribe.
That's the only place that we post.
We are super dead sexy.
That's my story.
And you want to see these faces.
So if you even if you want to hear, you have to go to YouTube.
Yeah, we would be on that iTunes.
No other hosting.
www.itunes.com.
Right, or on the Internet Archive.
And if you want
to... Internet Archive.
And if you want to give us
either.
A...
Apparently,
rate, review, and subscribe. You know, it's fine.
So... Also, don't forget, we are on Twitter at Guys Games Beer. There are also free game giveaways there. And Tom, so ably mans it.
All the time. For the love of God, people. We give
just giving it up.
I give it away all the time. It's yours for the asking. Just
Frederico has gotten the last six games.
Probably.
He's gotten the last six games.
We're bringing Southern America.
By the way, we've got big announcements coming up. Big shows, big visits. We're going to be out at Gamehole Con. We're going to be at Gamehole Con. We are going to be at Midwinter Gaming Convention.
Right. We'll be at NetFest.
We're going to be at NetFest in Kenosha. Yes. We're going to be at another big venue to be announced very soon. Oh, it's going to be huge. Seriously.
Yikes. It's going to be huge.
It's
going to
be huge.
It's going to be huge.
Like us.
Like
huge.
Like the big podcasts are going, I can't believe Guys, Games, and Beer did this podcast, did this show because...
We're that huge.
Yeah. We're that huge. By the way, thanks to all of our listeners south of the border. We love you.
Oh, my God. We love them today, especially.
Wow. And we love all you guys north of the... We love you guys today because you guys were all over Facebook today. That's true. What the heck? You guys are crawling all over it. Yeah, that was pretty good. So, I really wish I would have learned Spanish instead of French in high school.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you very much for watching. Also to our friends north of the border and in Europe. I know there's a few of you guys. What is with you guys?
Wow.
Crazy people.
I thought you guys all had class. I'm just saying.
And you drink your beer warm.
Not us.
Not us, but my wife does. She's got a lot of family in
England. No, I mean the Europeans, too.
I don't think... Europeans get really offended if you call them Europeans, I guess. You should be, like, localized with it.
Okay, well...
Can you still run it?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, we were leaving. All right, thank you very much for watching. Have a good one. Bye.
Larry Crop dusted us.